Probably more expensive. Well, I live in the South. I live 90 miles from Jerry Falwell and that kind of foolishness. Somebody needs to do something about the fundamental Christian movement. It's sick, and it's getting sicker. In relationship to that, I have an interest in how my term was. I think of sex as the new nigger, because what I see is that people will take a sexual preference, or what is perceived as a sexual preference. They'll beat Matthew Shepard to death, and somebody says, "Why did you do that? He was gay." That makes sex the nigger, because they used to lynch us because we were black. Or they'll decide to beat some soldier to death, and nobody wants to say, "This is wrong." Everybody wants to say, "Oh, my God, if he wouldn't have been gay, if he just cured himself, it wouldn't have happened." And so I'm a part of a victimization of people taking what is their religion. Somebody will say, "Well, goodness gracious, people think that homosexuality is wrong." But good, and you shouldn't do it. But it doesn't give you the right to kill somebody who doesn't agree with that. And I think it's a serious issue, because I think that we are using homosexuality as an excuse to kill people and frighten the rest of the population into silence so that we can continue the killing. If I said that badly, I'm sorry. I don't know how. But that bothers me. It bothers me totally that people in prison are not allowed to vote. They're still alive. They're still a part of us. Damn well should vote. They got nothing else to do but bone up on the issues. So what? And it's a serious problem, if I may, since he asked, because I said I'm going to sit here until somebody asked me. But since you did, it's a serious problem, because, again, the black community, when you look at the numbers of people, but particularly men, under the control of the system, we have removed an awful lot of people who should be voting. Now, I know this is America, and we all love it and all of that, but this country started restricting. It started out to restrict the franchise. It's been a huge fight in America going right through the 60s on who could and couldn't vote. And so when they couldn't finally just say, "We're not going to let the colored boys vote," they said, "What we'll do is we'll put them in prison. Then we won't let them vote because they're criminals." The end result is that we are not getting input from people who should be there. So you end up with people like, if I may, a Jesse Helms, who is illegitimately holding office because the people who probably would vote him out are not being allowed to vote. And so Jesse gets to run around and be some great hero about some crap that he should have a real job. So you understand what I'm saying? It's not right. It's not right. So we brought these issues up. I didn't have the votes, and it's not that kind of a situation. I'm not upset, nor am I embarrassed by what we've done. So it was not something that I should walk out on or be ugly about. None of that. It's just that you asked me, and those were the concerns that I had that could not become a part of this.
Great. Marcia?
That's why some of us love art and not religion.
Right. Okay, we're going to take one last question. Let me do Richard here.
You mean everyone will speak broken English? Well, I wrote in my book, The Quark and the Jaguar, about this idea of one language. When I was a little child, I asked my father whether if everyone spoke the same language, that wouldn't help to promote world peace. And he said, well, maybe, but there are some other considerations. And he brought up this notion of cultural diversity. The German intellectual Herder of 200 years ago, who helped the Lithuanian and Latvian writers revive Lithuanian and Latvian, which were dying languages at that time, expressing the feeling that even though international communication is very desirable, English as a second language will almost certainly be very widespread in 100 years. It already is quite widespread. That the preservation of local languages is still of very great importance, simply because this diversity that we have, the diversity of cultures, reflected also in the diversity of languages, is the result of a long process of evolution and distillation, and it's just a pity to throw it all away in a brief period when it's taken so long for these things to develop.
Okay, I'm going to... Well, let me do one last. Douglas, go ahead.
Yes, it seems to me you've identified extremely well a whole range of different matters with which you're concerned, and which you're concerned, and which, as you say, are interdependent on each other. And have identified one of the problems, which is that the institutions, like the bureaucracies we put in place to achieve certain objectives, tend not to do that because they become sclerotic and unresponsive and create further problems. So when I'm looking at that issue and saying, okay, how do we need to address those problems? And it seems to me we need to find some other mechanism than by repeating the setting up of other kinds of institutions, which will, in the same way, deliver exactly the same law of unintended consequences. So really what I'm asking is, I'm going back to the thing that Michael said right at the beginning, before you went to delivery. Is there anything you can detect amongst all this that is the, if you like, the lightest touch we can put on the tiller to make us generally move in a better direction than we are at the moment, rather than by trying to solve problems in the same way that has created the problems we're already trying to deal with?
That's a very good point. One thing that we talked about a lot was accountability and openness, transparency. Because I think sometimes it's easier to be sclerotic if you aren't responsive to critique and if people don't know what's gone on in your meetings. Having meetings be open, having public meetings where the public can raise questions, things like that I think actually make organizations much more flexible and accountable. That's one thing. But we also talked about values. You know, one way to get cooperation is by people recognizing the same good things, things that are considered good. So there's that's amorphous and touchy-feely, but it's not rules and regulations. So those are just two elements. Organizations can also be linked to one another by representatives between them without having an overarching organization. That happens already in academe. So you have the AAAS, the American Anthropological Association, sends a delegate to the meetings and then brings back information about what's going on, and work is done between them through an individual who belongs to both. No other organization over them, necessarily. Things like that.
But that illustrates the role of civil society, which we alluded to in the final paragraph. And civil society does not consist mainly of bureaucracies. There are, of course, staff members and executive directors and so on of civil organizations, but they operate differently. And many of the good things that are happening in the world today are very closely associated with the progress of civil society. In this country, our tax laws have encouraged the formation of charitable foundations, which are included among the principal actors in civil society, and some of them have done some very good things.
I think I'd add another point at the risk of sounding self-serving. Again, it comes back to communications. I think the news media play a very important part in influencing change. Murray and I dispute what the value of journalism, but I tell him Nixon would still be president if it hadn't been for the news media. But it's really, and it's regrettable in many ways that a lot of the coverage abroad is being cut down for this year, because nevertheless, coverage is very good. I mean, by and large, coverage is very good, and I think it's essential. And it's very interesting how sensitive foreign governments are, not to mention our own government, how sensitive they are to the news media. I hate to use the word news media. The press is my old term. But anyway, people are very sensitive to it. And, you know, foreign leaders always want to get on CNN and make their statements. And CNN, incidentally, even though it's really kind of bite-sized, you know, quick and so forth, it's a phenomenal institution. It's, you can turn on it, you can listen to CNN in Siberia. So all that, I think, in addition to a lot of things, is are important in changing, leaning, influencing governments for change, and corporations as well.
Accountability is checks and balances. It's not the idea of creating more bureaucracies that go in a pyramidal way and add more to the problem, even though they may have solved some. And as was mentioned earlier, we have something that is now national civil society, which is still a term that